would ask questions like, who has been successful in this role? What are, you know, models which have been a good fit here? What training, what gifts combined to make a person successful in this role?
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Career Lab podcast. That was Elizabeth Vail, Managing Director at Morgan Stanley. We asked Elizabeth what questions she would advise asking of a prospective employer. After all, now is the season when many college seniors are about to graduate and commit to their first job.
I would ask also about a career path. I think one frustration with many jobs I've been in has been, you know, you really need to create your own career path. Is there a logical progression? Is there the ability to move around? Very often people get stuck, and I think, you know, you want to make sure that the firm generally endorses multiple experiences. So I think that's not a bad question at all to ask and perfectly appropriate.
This episode, we asked some of our Career Lab speakers for their top tips for women who are just about to enter the job market. They all had one refrain in common: you don't have to figure it all out ahead of time. But they also had some more tactical advice based on their own early career experiences.
I'm Karen Levert. I'm the CEO of Southeast Tech and Ventures, and I co-founded the company about 3.5 years ago. And the company works with inventors that are in the university. They feel that they have an idea with commercial potential, but not necessarily the business expertise to get it into the marketplace.
We asked Karen for her advice for women who know they want to go the entrepreneurial route.
One of the main things in preparation is knowing thyself. When you go into business on your own, you start by yourself a lot of times. Sometimes you have one or two other people around you, but you have to learn where your strengths are, and I'll call them growth edges, to where you need to complement yourself. Secondly, it's always better to get into something where you have some background about the market that you're going to be in. Businesses have high failure rates for money, for not approaching the market correctly, not really understanding the customer, so you can give yourself a better chance of success if you put some of those things in your favor.
Karen is one of our many speakers who decided at some point in her career that an MBA would give her the edge she needed to accomplish her goals.
I wasn't sure, actually, right when I graduated that I would get an MBA. I started 8 years after I was out of school. I don't think that you necessarily have to have an MBA to be successful in business, but I learned a lot about business plans and the financial side of the business, so at least you could build forecasts and see if you're meeting those. And again, you don't need an MBA for that, but it was helpful that way.
Some of our other speakers also talked about the decision to get an MBA and at what point in their careers. Damali Rhett is a recent graduate of the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. Today, she works for Deloitte Consulting.
I think for me, the timing was good. I'd been at my job for 3 years. I did have a mentor who was the VP at my job who was working on getting his actually executive MBA from Columbia. And so I sat down and really talked to him. From there, I just started kind of exploring and asking questions. So I started researching schools. I loved it. I think everybody taking a 2-year break and they're so excited. We call it, you know, reverting back to your college days, but everybody's so excited. It definitely was an adjustment to kind of sitting in class and actually having like assignments due and taking tests. But because everybody's going through it at the same time, your whole class is supporting you. Your study group is, you know, had been in the working world before. You know, people are coming from different countries. It was just so much fun, and just the people that I met were just so wonderful and so supportive. I was most surprised by how diverse the interests are. You know, we had people who wanted to do nonprofit, you know, work. We had people who wanted to do real estate. We had people who wanted to do just all kinds of things. It's not just one kind of person in the mold. I think one of the good things about business school is that you are given the opportunity to try a lot of things. You do have to kind of go in with a plan. So I knew I wanted to try an international experience. I knew I wanted to do some sort of voluntary consulting project. And I knew Tuck has a program called Field Study in International Business. And so I knew I wanted to do that. I'm working in the energy industry as a consultant, and that was a direct relation of the field study in international business that I did. You know, I know that I have a passion for kind of international relations, and that was a direct result of me being able to go to France on exchange for 3 months. And so I do think business school does offer you the opportunity, but I think given the short period of time, because you don't have 4 years like you have an undergrad. You don't even have 3 years. You really have to have an idea of what are the things I want to try to see if I like them.
For women thinking about a career in business, timing is key. Business schools want students with real-world experience. But that doesn't mean you have to follow a set path between college and grad school. Catherine Marcella just finished her first year of graduate school at Wharton.
Honestly, I'd had two different careers before even coming to business school. So I'd been in the workforce since 2002 when I graduated. I entered into a healthcare consulting firm doing marketing and new business development. I did that for about a year and a half. I learned a lot. From there, I ended up in federal management consulting. I have three major pieces of advice just from what I've learned in my 4 years working and now my first year in grad school. The first one is that you don't have to commit to a job your first year out of school, like a specific job for the rest of your life. Your early 20s to mid-20s is your time to experiment and take on a lot of different roles and test things out. I mean, I had two totally different careers before coming here, and I learned so much in both of them, and it was very valuable. And I didn't want to do either of them for the rest of my life, but I wouldn't give what I have experienced at those jobs back for the world. So I think just knowing that you don't have to find your dream job at day one. I think it's even trying to take on a different variety of jobs to try to figure out what your dream job is that you'll eventually aspire to, you know, hopefully within the next 10 to 20 years. I think the second piece of advice is that you really need to find a mentor within the company, whether that's a mentor that you're assigned to or a peer mentor, maybe it's your manager, but really finding someone who has more seniority than you. They know the political scenes. They're familiar with different processes. They can help you. They'll be your advocate. They'll help endorse you. And then the third piece of advice, I would say, is to ask for help. Network. Take advantage of the networks. I know I sent out a few emails to alumni from my undergrad, and they love to help. So I think really taking advantage and not being scared, having the confidence to email people. Yeah, you're not going to get 100% response rate. People are really busy. But even if, you know, it's just finding that one person who's going to speak with you about their job, what they've done, and maybe they do have an opening at their firm, or maybe their friend does, and just really educating yourself, taking the initiative to speak with people and to learn.
Jordan Bookey, who graduates this spring with an MBA from Wharton, echoes the same advice.
In terms of just picking your first job and advice for picking your first job, I told myself this, and I would tell any young woman or young person out of college that you should take the job and do the thing that you are really passionate about. You naturally do better because you're naturally excited about it and you want to put in all of your effort. And so oftentimes I think we can get very caught up in what other people perceive to be the best first job or this or that. So I think, you know, number one is really choosing something that you're genuinely interested in. And number two is picking a place where you like the people. So make sure that you like the people that interview you. Make sure that you like the people around you. And I think that will take you very far, because in your first job especially, you spend quite a bit of time with your friends and colleagues at the office or whatever type of work environment you have.
Great advice from all of our speakers. And I want to thank them for appearing at our Career Lab events around the country over the last few months. To learn more about the Career Lab, visit fortefoundation.org. And for those of you graduating this spring, we wish you the best of luck wherever your career takes you. If you're interested in hearing more, check out our Forte Forum podcast, which features an extended interview with Elizabeth Vail about how she built her career at Morgan Stanley over 25 years. You'll find it at fortefoundation.org. This podcast is sponsored by the Graduate Management Admissions Council. Visit mba.com for more information about the GMAT, test preparation, careers in business, and finding the right school for you.